Mom? A little voice asked from the back seat. Are we going to see Daddy? With the heel of my hand, I scrubbed away my tears so my eldest wouldn't spot them in the rearview mirror. Don't wake up your sisters, Elise. The three girls were crammed into the back of our POS station wagon with all their stuff like sardines in a can. All the possessions we had in the world were tucked around them. Way too much and nowhere near enough. Sibby was slumped in her car seat, a string of drool trailing from her rosebud mouth. Beside her, Maeve's head was tossed back and she was snoring slightly. But Elise's sharp blue eyes were alert. And maybe just a little bit weary. The urge to apologize to her was lodged in my throat. I'm sorry I didn't pick a better daddy for you. I'm sorry he abandoned us with a mountain of debt and no money to pay it. I'm sorry I was so worthless that I can't keep a roof over our heads for more than a week at a time. I'm sorry you got stuck with me as a mother. Life shouldn't be like this. By 40, a woman was supposed to have her crap together. A home for her daughters. A devoted husband. Bring home the bacon and fry it up, as the commercial said. Ignoring the question about her father, I strove for a light tone. We're going to our new home. Just as soon as I found it. It's late. Go to sleep. Elise nodded and then leaned against the window. Her eyes shut obediently. My hands clenched on the steering wheel. Stupid town council condemning the stupid house. Not that it shouldn't have been condemned a long time ago. That was the whole reason we'd taken up residence there. No one else wanted it. That's what we were reduced to, living off what normal people would shun. It had been a beast of a summer, and so far, autumn wasn't looking much better. Panic clawed at me at the thought of winter. So far, we'd gotten by with flashlights and camping gear. Maybe we ought to head farther south, leave North Carolina altogether, and head down to Florida. I snorted. Like the wagon would make it to Florida, we'd be lucky if the sputtering engine held through the next county. Headlights appeared in the rear view and made my eyes burn. My heart rate sped up. Just another trait of the anxiety that was my constant companion. Another motorist on the highway was nothing to get worked up over. Blue lights lit up the night. Terror swamped me. Police. It's okay, Lainey. Don't freak out. You didn't do anything wrong. At least that he would know about. Maybe he was after someone else, and our car happened to be in the way. Slowly, I put on my blinker and pulled onto the shoulder, all the while praying, please let him be after someone else, please. He wasn't. The flashing light stopped right behind our car. I wanted to scream, but the girls were all sound asleep. My hand shook as I reached for the glove box, extracted the registration. What were the chances he wouldn't notice it was expired? With my luck, non-existent. In the driver's side mirror, I watched him approach. A big man, tall. Instinctively, I shrank smaller into my seat. I wasn't a fan of men at all these days, especially big men who wore uniforms. You're not doing anything wrong, I whispered to myself as I hand-cranked the window down and let in the brisk mountain air. His headlights lit up the back of the car, the mounds of clothing, and what was left of our food and bottles of water. Because I was watching for it, I saw his lips compress into a thin line as he took it all in. At least the girls and I were clean. We'd used the neighbor's hose just that morning to wash. It's amazing what lows a woman will stoop to when her back is up against the wall. No indignity is too great. Pride was a luxury I could no longer afford.